Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Liam Makelam, KCBS Foodie Chap. At Madrona Manor in Healdsburg, Chef Jesse Malgren. Chef, good to see you. How are you, mate?
Doing well. Good to see you.
And I'm happy because there's wine on the table. Before we hear your story, we're also going to hear about the Christmas dinners, the holiday dinners, the Dickens dinners here. But I always love to begin with this sound. Ooh. And this sound. Oh, what are we drinking, Chef?
A Forge Cellars Riesling from the Finger Lakes.
Which will go perfect with this crab we're going to enjoy in a few minutes. To you, Chef Jesse, here we go. All right, drinking on the job. Mm. Oh, wow. That tastes like the holidays, doesn't it? So, Chef, your story. Santa Rosa boy, local. Tell me about what was coming out of the kitchen at home growing up. Who was cooking and what was on the table?
My mother was cooking, and she was always experimenting on us. She is a professional storyteller. She researches stories that were passed down through the generation, verbally passed down, and she would really immerse herself in a certain culture, and whatever culture it was, that's what we would eat for the couple months straight. So at one point, she was learning Russian tales, and we had borscht and lamb stew and potatoes and sour cream, and so it was. As a kid, I always wanted, pizza and lasagna or something, but now I appreciate it.
Well, your mom instead was taking you on a culinary trip around the world. What are the cuisines? Were there any favorites that stand out? Or was there a dish that your mama made to this day, to you, still reminds you of home?
Honestly, they changed so often that it was there. I don't really have a dish that it was never the same dish every time, On our birthday, we could pick whatever we wanted, and I always pick pizza. So
simple. Keep it simple. First job working in a kitchen was where?
In Santa Rosa, a place called Restaurant Matisse. It's a dishwasher. I had a skateboard.
High five. High five. Dishwasher club. That was my first and last job in the kitchen, Chef. So that's where it all started for you. Was it an initial... that passion for cuisine, did it happen there, or was that just a job at the time? When did your real passion for cooking ignite?
During the college years, I wanted to be a lawyer originally, and I found I was cooking to kind of pay for school, and the chef for the time said, "Why do you want to be a lawyer? It's a waste. You're so talented." And I'd spent all my extra money eating out at restaurants and talking about food, and I kind of thought, I hate paperwork, and lawyers have a lot of paperwork, so sure.
Well, not too much paperwork. As a chef, of course, you're in the weeds, you're on the line, different kind of pressure from being a lawyer. Early on, of all the chefs that you worked with, who would you say was your most important mentor?
Probably Jeremiah Tower at Stars. I mean, he had such a focus on the classics and, taste your food was kind of the rule at that restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty important thing to do as a chef is taste your food. There's a surprising number of chefs who don't taste everything every day.
The most important thing, taste as you go. Let's go back to Stars. It's the 90s, right? It is the restaurant, the spot. Did you realize how special a restaurant it was at the time? I mean, you're in the weeds, you're in the kitchen, but did it feel special? Did you get a sense of the buzz and the importance of Jeremiah Tower and the restaurant in San Francisco at that time?
It was pretty obvious because all the cooks there had all been chefs or sous chefs at other restaurants, and everyone in the kitchen was such a good cook. We'd all push each other really hard to try and get better. You came with a new menu every day, and as your two dishes, you'd put them up and everyone would taste them. So you didn't want to be embarrassed by putting up something that wasn't excellent.
You better bring out your best. I know Jeremiah Shipp, incredibly talented chef, a tower of talent. And I'm sure he was tough to work for as well. What was the biggest takeaway from working with Jeremiah and working for him?
Just pay attention to what you're doing and don't try to get too fancy. Just make it all about taste.
Yeah. If I look at the family tree, the chefs that have come out of Stars, Mario Batali, Dominique Crenn, the list goes on. I mean, you name a big chef.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
A lot of them, yeah.
Who were the standouts? Who were with you at that time?
Oh, man, trying to think about a good friend of mine, Nathan Powers, who's in Salt Lake City now.
Yeah.
David Farrell is in Portland. Those are two really good chefs that moved on there. And Dominique was there. She left right before I got there, so I heard some stories about her. But
oh, please do tell.
She was pretty tough, just as she is now. So it's kitchens are pretty macho. So any woman that can stand up is highly respected.
Yeah, highly respected. Major props. And look at Dominique now. She's doing all right. Chef, you have a wall of Michelin stars, 11 years in a row. Tell me about the first star that you got. You've been here, by the way, at Madrona Manor since 1999. So the first star, the phone rings. How do you react?
I mean, they email you a couple of weeks earlier and ask for your telephone, so you have an inkling that you might have one. And when you get that call, it's an unlisted number, so you're like, oh, goodness gracious.
It's either the tax man or Michelin.
So your legs are shaking, your voice quivers a little bit, and you're just, thank goodness.
What does it mean to you and the team to have that star?
It's really about consistency. So especially we've had one star for so long that we've really paid attention to what we're doing, and set a great standard. Especially growing up as a kid, reading my mom's gourmet magazines, and you'd see this Michelin star this, Michelin star that, and you didn't really realize what it was because they didn't have it in the United States. But now that you get that call and you see the plaque on your wall, it's pretty special.
Madrona Manor, set the scene for us. For those who have not been here, we're in Healdsburg, Madrona Manor, a place you can enjoy a Michelin star dinner. You can also stay the night. It's a guest house as well as it is a restaurant. Set the scene. What's here? What will people experience when they come here?
Well, the building was built in 1881, so it's a nice old Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
High ceilings. The tables are pretty far apart where they don't try and crowd you. It's nice, relaxed pace to the meal. We've also got a garden on site, so you can come in early and stroll through the garden and see what you're gonna be eating that night. And it's a beautiful place, kind of classic food, some little Japanese influences, and either come in and have a couple bites or have a nice tasting menu.
Yeah, we're very excited, Chef. One of my favorite times of year, Christmas. The holidays, and my favorite storyteller of all times, Charles Dickens. You're doing these special Dickens dinners every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all through the end of December. Tell me about the dinner. What will people experience?
Well, first of all, the place is decorated to the T's.
It is
amazing.
You know what? I wasn't feeling holiday spirit at all. I walked through these doors today, and it feels like Christmas from the moment you step inside here. Over the top is an understatement.
Yeah, it's incredible. There's decoration everywhere, lots to look at, lots of little intricate details, every corner. And it's cranny. It's great. So the dinner is kind of classic, based on some of the old kind of English food. Start off with a kind of a crab salad. The Dungeness crab to me always seems like that's the holidays when the Dungeness crab season comes locally. So I wanted to do something with that. Some oranges from the garden and the green goddess dressing, kind of dressing Jeremiah Tower taught me at Stars. A little celery potato soup with some bacon. And then we move on to the entrees, and that's salmon or beef Wellington. So the beef Wellington, people rave about it, come back every year for it, wrapped in puff pastry, red wine sauce, and delicious.
Forgive me, Chef. I am drooling. These are some of my favorite things, and you get to enjoy them all as part of the Dickens dinners. There's more than just food as part of these dinners. You also have, is there some storytelling and caroling as part of it?
Caroling. So in between each course, there's a about five carolers come in and they sing 2 to 3 songs in between each course, and they're pretty spectacular. They're dressed in period costume, and every song, every room they sing, they sing kind of different songs. So you can, as you're eating some of your courses, you can hear them singing off in different rooms. Yeah. And it's a lot of people say it's not Christmas till they come and have a Dickens dinner.
And of course, as you drop every plate, you sing too, right?
Oh, people would not come back if I sang. My children don't let me sing, so they no one wants me singing.
Do you? I know you have 2 kids, right? Have you ever read any Dickens to them?
No, we haven't. We might have to start doing that, though.
This could be the year, right?
Either I'll read to them, or I'll make them read it to me.
Well, tell them Uncle Liam's coming over. Hello, children. It was winter 1855. Okay, enough of that. Chef, we were in the kitchen together, and you made this delicious dish. It's on the menu as part of the Dickens dinners. Talk me through this dish.
So it's a local Dungeness crab. They're catching just off the Marin coast. It's cooked and kind of picked, cleaned, and it's mixed with a little bit of a green goddess dressing, which is kind of a mayonnaise with herb-based mayonnaise sauce.
And this is the famous Jeremiah Tower green goddess dressing?
His exact recipe, actually, yeah. So chervil, tarragon, and then that goes in the, and we have a little salad of some frisée and radicchio, just a little bit of bitterness to kind of cut through that sweetness of the deliciousness of the crab. A little calamandra oranges, which are the kind of small mandarin orange.
Vertically challenged, right? It's teeny weeny.
Exactly. just like myself, vertically challenged.
No, come on.
Some toasted almonds on there, just for a little crunch, nice texture.
Delicious dish. One of the dishes that you will enjoy as part of your dinner, the Dickens dinners here at Madrona Manor. And chef, talk about the fun of it for you and the team. For any chef, every day is different. You cook as the garden grows, the menu shifts. But what's the spirit like in the kitchen around this time of year?
Everybody's feeling great. You know, it's getting ready for, we listen to songs. We play lots of Christmas music in the kitchen to get in the mood. And it's one time a year where we actually serve the same menu pretty much every night for 13 nights this year. So,
well, it's festive for sure. I can't wait to come. I'm coming back. I had dinner here recently, chef. You deserve every single Michelin star you have on the wall here, and I hope you get to enjoy many more. Finally, for you, Christmas Day, you're at home with the family. What will be on the table?
Get up early in the morning. The kids will get us early with the stockings, and they usually want waffles or crepes. So that's spend some time with the family and actually come into work. We actually are open for Christmas dinner.
So you'll be here.
Be here for the final night of the Dickens dinner series. Yeah. It's Christmas Eve and Christmas are our two most popular nights, and they always sell out soon. They're Christmas Eve, we have 2 more tables left, I think.
Yeah. So, folks, you heard it here first from Chef Jesse. Before I leave you, Chef, come on, grab a fork. Folks, we're going to connect you with a website so you can book your seat at the table, the Dickens dinner. Cheers, Chef. Here we go. Mm-mm. Oh my, that's delicious. Nice and bright, zesty, crunchy, crabby. But I have to say, the star of this dish is that green goddess dressing.
No, I love that stuff. Yeah, anytime I have chervil, I love it.
Yeah, it is the best. Chef Jesse, happy holidays to you, my friend. Really great hanging out with you. Great drinking with you too, always. Chef Jesse, executive chef here, Madrona Manor. More on his story and how you can book your seat at the table at the upcoming Dickens dinner. All the info at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.